I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Black women's political engagement and participation after the war provided one kind of evidence of the different ambitions and notions of citizenship on the part of black and white women. Their politics worried their employers. Some white women employers fired black women who spoke openly of politics and especially of their support for the Republican Party. Side note, back then Republican Party was like the Democrats. Mary Pringle even directed her servants to boycott radical nigger purveyors of meat in the city. Police were an inevitable part of every aspect of the relations between white and black women. Gertrude Thomas's former slaves and the female servants she hired after the war gave her several lessons on the subjects of gender roles and gender relations, lessons that left no doubt that black women's understanding of such matters differed fundamentally from her own. In a diary entry on October 22, 1868, she wrote that white Southerners must avoid politics and focus on family survival. A few days later, politics intruded directly into her life when Dinah hosted a political meeting in her room. At least two of the several men in attendance were known to be active Republican partisans. Thomas learned of the meeting of the alleged plans to burn her home and others in the neighborhood from a black teenager and from her husband, who had adopted the habit of sneaking under the cabins of black people at night in order to eavesdrop on their conversations. Following the meeting at Dinah's, Bob, a former slave, sent for Thomas's husband, who he learned had accused him and his wife of conspiring to burn down Thomas's house. Gertrude Thomas went in place of her husband. Thomas trusted Patsy, Bob's wife, who was one of the first slaves her father had given her, and the only one of her former house slaves who had remained at the end of the war. "I took a sleep, and I talked with them a while," Thomas wrote. "Told them that white people were anxious to avoid a difficulty, but that if forced to, if they would fight and fight well, that I did not feel uneasy." And without hesitation, Patsy staked her position on the opposing ground. Thomas remembered her saying, "Well, I want to be where Bob is." If there was going to be a fight, she let Thomas know that neither was she anxious and that they would be enemies to each other. Patsy's comment unnerved Thomas. If Patsy was willing to take up arms, she was not. "I do not wish to be where Mr. T is," she retorted, "for I would want him to be in the fight." When Bob joked, perhaps in reply, that Miss Trudy would be a good soldier herself, Thomas replied, "I would not be a good soldier, Bob, but I cannot imagine myself as being a coward." So essentially, first of all, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. This is a feedback show. We're going to get to all your 5-star reviews, your comments, your emails, your voicemails, all that stuff today.
And Karen, I'm here too.
And Karen is here as well. Sorry about that.
You good?
But I saw you had wanted to talk, and I started talking to try to
oh, I know,
get to the point where you could go ahead and say what you had to say. But that excerpt is from Out of the House of Bondage: The Transformation of the Plantation Household by Thivoli of Glimpf. Karen, what was you gonna say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a mess. That is a goddamn mess. Mm-hmm. You know, you threatening people. Talk about I'm big and I'm bad and I'm unwavered, but you know, you didn't expect Nuck if you buck, and they was like, "Oh, word, okay, like, yeah, we are willing to fight, we willing to take arms," and she not really willing to take arms. She just talking.
I like how in her mind the idea of the white race fighting, the white Southern race fighting, was still her man, right? It wasn't her herself, but the idea, but for Patsy and Bob, they was like, "Oh, we in the shit together."
Yeah,
so
if we don't have a choice. We've always been in it together.
Yeah, if we nugging and bucking, it's gonna be us. Like
us.
Not you know, like her, she thought she hit that like, I wanna be where Bob is. So if Bob is in the shit, I'm in the shit with him. Like that white lady was like, no, if Mr. T gonna be out there fighting in the war and I'll be back home, you know, making salt pork or whatever the fuck we make for rations at the time, but I'm definitely not trying to fight with him. But black women never had that choice, really.
We've never had the choice. We've never been protected. Black people in general have never been protected, and there's been no such thing as the protection of a black woman and putting a black woman on a pedestal and she's the love of the earth and all that stuff. In general, it just has not been that way.
And then the other thing is, this is right after the Civil War, black people openly talking to a white woman about going to war, about we'll burn your fucking house down. This is not that stereotype that we were taught about our ancestors and how docile they were, and you know, they just got ran out of everywhere, guys. Oh, this is, you know, they turned the other cheek. Like, nah, they was ready to burn shit down, like, to get what they needed, to get that equality.
Right. And the thing is, it's hard for people to understand that, the truth be told, any form of progressive ideals or anything that pushed things forward comes with some kind of violence, and people don't want to accept that. Violence comes along with the territory. Violence does. You know, that's something that a lot of people, including myself, sometimes underestimate, sometimes how much violence actually comes with these things. A lot of times people have these ideas and these thoughts and these exercises and these, you know, highfalutin political words and shit like that, but you know, if you want these changes, sometimes it has to come to some form of violence. And violence comes in different forms, but it has to be a form of an altercation. People want shit to change without altercation, and that's impossible.
The other thing too is, she really felt, in at the end of the day, as a white woman, me and Patsy are both women. And so she wants, essentially what black women want is to be me. They want to be a white woman. And so in her mind, she was thinking like, well, that will be the common denominator. That's the common bond. Like, me and Patsy, you know, like she said, the only slave that stayed after all the other slaves left and all the shit. So, you know, after everyone was freed, she still stuck around. So her whole thing was like, nah, this is like me going to talk to like my, I wouldn't say sister, but almost like a pet or something, almost, you know, in a weird way. Something between a sister, yeah, and a pet.
I expect you to be loyal.
Right. And when she got hit with that, like, no, like, and I don't even envision my role as, you know, sitting in the house doing all the shit you doing. Like, life hasn't even afforded me that, and I don't even see that as something that I covet, you know? So, like, I feel like that's a big thing, and that was a big sense of betrayal and hurt for white women after the Civil War, was how much black women simply did not look up to them. Like, they did not see them as these as the way that white men sold them. They did not see that, you know what I'm saying, as like, well, white women are genteel, blah blah blah, they're ladies and southern belles. And it's like, black women did not see any of that shit, because I've changed your dirty drawers. It's, there is no, you know, the bloom's been off that rose. You know, I know you're vicious. I know you beat me. I know you punished me. I know you look the other way when I get raped and shit like that. So no, we not in this together at all, and no, I don't want your life.
Right. And the thing is, there is a difference. And, you know, and it's amazing how in today's time, people do not, I think people understand, they, I guess they don't understand because it's not here, but owning somebody is a thing. Like, you own your dog, like, you can kind of control your dog. And that's what human beings were doing to other human beings. They was controlling them, telling them what to do, when to do it, where to do it. And they had no recourse to object. They couldn't say, no, I don't want to do that. If you did, it meant death. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she thought that her word was going to be sufficient enough, and her word in this quote-unquote altercation was going to be enough to place fear in them. And they was like, the fuck your words mean? Not a goddamn thing to me.
I think also, when it comes specifically to black women, they have always dreamed of freedom in ways that did not exist. And that,
right,
you know, and that is something that nobody really can relate to in general. Not, I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure there's other marginalized things, but I feel like black women within the American construct,
America, right,
have always had to envision things that just simply were not there. They weren't to be modeled after things that whiteness had done, because they know more than anybody how much of a trap and an illusion of freedom that actually is. And mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think because they have been kind of, pardon my, you know, I don't mean this derogatorily to black men or whatever, but because they've been kind of burdened, saddled, attached to, anchored to black men,
right?
There's a level of empathy and concern that they can't escape, whether they, you know, I think there's some people that kind of, I mean, we see it online all the time, it's very performative, but there's like a, there's clearly a feeling of like radical, like, I don't really fuck with black men as a way to shake off the feeling of obligation, like you have to. And it's like, I want to let you motherfuckers know that
I don't,
you know, I know I'm on to your shit, and y'all, I'm not gonna let y'all pull me down, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that.
Me too.
But I feel like in a way it's almost inescapable, because these are your fathers, these are your sons, and in America doesn't really allow a black woman to do like certain black men, where they can like turn on the community, never look back, like that, like,
and
that,
prosper, right?
Yeah. And still, but still not be like harangued for it, truly. That never happens with black women. Like, mm-hmm. if you just, like, even if you just find, if people find out like a black woman has a non-black love, people will be like, I don't know about that, you know, as opposed to, and I'm not saying that never happens to black men, but
right,
the general feeling of
it's like the difference,
that lack of respect, that like you need to prove yourself shit is a constant, you know. Mm-hmm. And black men face that too, to some extent. Mm-hmm. But because of patriarchy, it's more like, well, a black man deciding to take care of someone else, that's what's the harm in that, you know, like that, he, that's just who he decided to love, like, right. how you gonna challenge that, as opposed to you let somebody take care of you that's not a black man, you supposed to belong to us, that patriarchy. And yeah, so
that ownership is, that's a thing, particularly with black women. Everybody wants to fucking own your body. The white, right, man wants to own your body, the white woman wants to own your body, the black, right, man wants to own your body, everybody wants to fucking own your body. And when you be like, I want to do these things with my body, that does not include y'all motherfuckers, because everybody lose their goddamn minds,
right? And some of it, you know, even to the point where I think it's a societal issue, because it's internalized, like,
right,
you see it with other, sometimes black women turn on other black women, they for do that shit, like
that, the same thing, ownership.
Yeah, you just never fucking know. But the thing I was gonna say is, that's why I believe that their ideas of freedom always shock everybody, you know. It's always so fucking shocking to everybody that's not a black woman, right? Because one, nobody reads black women's stuff for the most, like, mm-hmm, other black women might, but like, mm-hmm, you don't really see people tout black women as scholars and as people who like are radical thinkers that we need to read, that just, mm-hmm, that push us and all that shit,
right? You know, out there, but we get washed in history,
right? And like, if anyone's reading it, it's probably other black women, and if, right, and of that, it's not gonna be all, right, it's gonna be some. And you don't really see that, like, admission of expertise, like, oh yeah, yeah, we should be thinking about, so what do you think we should do? Like, you don't see that often. And I think that's why their ideas of freedom are so, always so fucking shocking to everybody and so revolutionary, because no one's considered them being in the room. So Patsy seemed to be the one that shocked, I forget her name, but whatever, last, the white lady, she seemed more shocked at Patsy than even her husband. Like, she did not find Bob's I'm gonna burn y'all house down shit to even be at all, like, out of, she was like, radical nigga, that's what the fuck they do. You're a lady, you're supposed to be like me, you're supposed to feel with me, you know. And I feel like often that happens in book too, but often that happens the other way when it's intraracial, black man, black woman dynamics, because then it's like, you're black, you're supposed to want what I want, not this whole, like, you want to get paid the same as me, you want freedom shit, that, nah, you're supposed to want the things that a black person as a man,
right? This whole thing of not wanting to have kids, you're supposed to want what I want as a man,
right? Like, whatever, you know. Yeah, you gotta want life, the vision life, the way I vision it. And right, I think that's why, you know, black women always kind of have no intellectual home among, or no intellectual allies, I'll put it that way, in general, because like I said, everything they've conceived, they had to conceive a way out of multiple traps. It's like, I've had to dream my way out of a box, and so none of y'all solutions are addressing the things that I want,
right? And also, a lot of times when it comes to black women, we are innovative because we almost have to be, because a lot of black women make a lot of money on shit that kind of shocks people. They be like, how did this black woman become a billionaire and quote unquote all she did was make a headscarf, motherfucker, because nobody else was making a headscarf that wasn't fucking pulling my edges out,
right?
You know, like, I went and I saw and y'all did not serve me. So a lot of times black women end up making money off of other black women because we see the lack of things. Like, another thing would be with Rihanna. Now, before Rihanna came around, all these makeup companies been around for fucking ever, always been around, didn't give a fuck about nobody, black or brown or albino. They didn't care. Okay, Rihanna come around and she kicked down the door going, I'm gonna make makeup for everybody. Then now all of a sudden everybody, because the thing is, they quote unquote had they color lines. You know, we got the Latifah Queen collection, all this stuff, which is fine. But you still didn't serve everybody. You still served only a limited selection. A lot of women that wear makeup, they were like, look, I had to blend 2 and 3 colors together to get the color to match my skin. Like, I'm ending up spending extra money, doing extra work, gave up on makeup because y'all didn't serve me. Rihanna comes in and she serves everybody. Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants to hop in and follow her lead. But it took a black woman going, hey, I see there's a need out there, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Rihanna ran into the same problem, her makeup artist people ran into the same problem, and was like, I'm going to serve these people. I'm going to super serve, over serve. And the thing is, when we are over served, we will spend our money, but you got to over serve us in order for us to spend our money.
Yeah, I think that lane is always left open, because who's gonna be the person that considers the black woman? And in that case, that's about her just serving other, like, people that like, but it opens up into a lane of, like, she didn't just only make black makeup palettes. She didn't only make brown, you know, just, this is only for brown people. Like, she actually just was like, no, this is a full line and I'm including more. And then of course all these other brands went and tried to copy her afterwards. But the point being, that lane was left open for how long? Makeup been around forever. Like, it was left open until 2016, 2018, or whatever the fuck. Like, that's insane when you think about it. But it's right, because of the people that come up with solutions in this country are never thinking of black women anyway.
No, not think about our knees, our body type, our hair, like our skin, like things that directly impact us. We always find ways to get around shit because we have to. But we would love, even to today, I'm pretty sure there's other products out there that would actually simplify our lives that just hadn't been made or innovated yet. And I'm pretty sure if some black woman, they're gonna be shocked and she's gonna be on the Forbes top 150 list soon, 100 list soon, for coming out of the quote unquote blue, for super serving a market that everybody else fucking ignored.
Yeah, and if you know what's even crazier about that, the products that white women were in charge of for black women's beauty was all stuff that they assumed black women wanted, which was to look like white women.
Right. Because I think the first time went to the mall and I wanted to get my face done at one of the counters. I haven't done this in years. And by the time that woman did my makeup, I was like, the fuck is this? I was 5 shades too light. I was like, you don't know what you're doing. And it's very, very frustrating, because I don't want to look like a white woman. I want to look like me. I'm brown. I want to look like me. Oh, and that's, like you say, it's hard for other people to think that black women want to be black, you know, because everybody quote unquote runs away from being black. But what happens to a black woman? She just want to be goddamn black. I don't want to be white. Well, I want to be black.
Not even just, I don't even think it's like we thought you wanted to, like, every black woman wants to run away from being black. They really think I'm the ideal, and as a white woman, this is what everyone wants to be, you know what I mean? Like, what this, why would someone want something to match their darker skin tone? Then they will be dark. We know beauty is defined as light. We know beauty is defined as straight hair. We know beauty is defined as thinner lips or whatever the fuck. And it's so wild to think, like, how they've turned beauty into looking darker, bigger, fuller lips, you know, even taking black women's hairstyles, they've turned beauty into that. But then for black women, they assume beauty is to try to look like a white woman for so long anyway. But then all these people came along and started selling shit to black women, and now, yeah, the myth is dead to that extent, you know, like, mm-hmm. that even black women in their natural hair, like that evolution, revolution, whatever you want to call it, like even that is a slap in the face to what we were told, you know, black women were supposed to want.
That's true. And it's kind of like a wave, because I know that there are some people that have always been natural.
Yeah. But and there was also waves, you know, during the 70s,
right?
You know, then the black revolution and stuff, there was a lot of natural hair wearing and froze and all that type of stuff too,
right? And so, you know, and this is quote unquote a wave, and I think for some people they're going to stick with it. I know I am. And I think that, it's just, shocking how, everything about us that white women don't understand, they're threatened by it. Cause like when you're talking about how white is the standard, even something considered nude, quote unquote, N-U-D-E, yeah, it's normally skin tone. But a lot of times when you get skin tone, a lot of times your nude is five shades too light. No. What happened to a brown or a beige or nude, you know? And it wasn't until a few years ago they got nudes that actually matched our skin tone, you know, shit like that. And it could be very frustrating and irritating, and it's still shocking to today how white women are just so shocked and appalled and just don't know how to handle us when we speak up and voice our opinions, because truth be told, they never considered us. Why? Because they never had to.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know, ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. Just in case people well, I know y'all didn't get the email for the live show.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why I didn't send out. Maybe you got the email at midnight tonight or something like that.
Or 3 a.m. tomorrow.
For some reason on Saturdays, it just does that. So make sure you follow us on social media. That's the only way we seem to be able to get the word out,
right,
for sure on time.
Yeah, on Saturdays.
Because you just never know with Crowdcast on a Saturday. So sorry if you missed the live show. You can always watch the replay on Crowdcast. Just go to crowdcast.io. Crowdcast.io, put in the blackout tips, and you know, follow us there, or,
yeah, and follow us on social media at TBGWT or at the Blackout Tips. You can normally Facebook and Twitter is where we put most of the time, where we put it when, yeah, we're going live.
So I'm sorry y'all didn't get the email. All right, let's get to all the people that gave us money.
I dedicate this song recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. That's right. New day. New Monet. Shout out to Monica T, recurring donator. Thank you very much. James TG, thank you so much. Calvin N, we appreciate you. Gerard L. Lanika M. Tyrone M. Call him Jason F. Michael Irvin the Playmaker. Jasmine I. Waste Bees Basura. Eric M. Attitude Check.
Bronco Pride.
Dostry J. Alexander M. Mary H. Janine R. Deborah O. Appreciate you, Deborah. Now my phone wants to load. I don't know why. It was doing fine. Jonathan W. Rachel H. Girl Shanna, what's going on, Shanna B?
Hey baby.
Omat A. Stefan H. Corey B. Andy S. Darwin M. Trivia T. Jeff M. Byron B. Jonathan H. Mr. Span from the Span Report Podcast. Early Days of Photography. We got a one-time donation from Lux A, who says to Rod and Karen, here's a little bit to help you both out. Hope you and your friends and loved ones are all keeping safe and well. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you. And we are.
We are. We doing our best over here. We appreciate your donation.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B. Michael W. Nicole F. Jeremy F. We got a one-time donation from Dana, who says, love this show so much. Thank you for everything. Well, thank you for everything. Okay. Stay safe up there. Solana S. Nerds in Luxury. Those luxurious ass nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Justin J. Candace H. Chriselle M. Thank you, Chriselle. We got a one-time donation from Casey F. Thank you, Casey. And, I think that's everybody. Okay, that's everybody. All right, thank you so much, everybody. We appreciate all the donations. If you want to give, you can go to theblackouttips.com. Look on the right hand side, there's a couple PayPal buttons, like one time donation, recurring donations, whatever it is. You always get a shout out, and we appreciate everybody takes time out to do that.
Whoa. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're going through right now,
smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Feeling so much better when you're
oh, oh,
oh. Oh, Kurt, thank you. That's a dope song. All right, let's get to the 5-star reviews, guys. And we...
Oh, I meant to tell you, I know this kind of off topic. I love your Parappa the Rapper shirt.
Oh,
I thought that was Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Kick. Punch. It's all in the mind.
Yes.
In the rain or in the snow. In the rain or in the snow. Got the funky, funky flow.
That's my video game.
Mm-hmm. All you ever need is to be nice and friendly.
All you ever need is to be nice and friendly.
The truck over here will bring you luck.
Yes.
Anyway, that's my jam.
Step on the brakes.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder if I could get that again now that I have a PlayStation 4.
I don't know. I hope we can.
I used to. That's gotta be one of the PlayStation originals.
Is that an exclusive? I think it is.
It's gotta be, right?
I hope it is.
Kick punch? Kick punch? I used to always try to get funky on it. Like,
love that game.
All you ever need is to be nice and friendly. And I'd be like, all you ever need? Like, that's not it at all. Alright, so let's get to the 5-star reviews. We got quite a few.
Yay!
I'm crying from M. Doula, who says,
I hope this is a good cry.
Crackhead, when y'all played that clip of Gator begging for money and doing this crackhead begging dance, I screamed so loud it echoed through my crib. That's one of my faves. Before crack was gentrified. I know. Now everybody on the crack. We can't have nothing.
Mm-mm.
Not even the crack. My favorite podcast by Bill Till, who says, I've been listening to Rod and Karen for about 6 years now, and can say they consistently put out 5-star material on every episode. They have gotten me through long commutes, house cleaning, bad presidents, and now a pandemic. I don't know how they do it, but I'm so thankful they do. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
We don't know how we do it either, okay?
Mm-mm.
Y'all the best. This is by Noah Darling, who says, Rod and Karen offer commentary on current events with an amazing mix of compassion and thoughtfulness. I'm so glad I found y'all. Smiley face. Well, we're glad you found us too, Noah.
We are. Thank you.
Thank you. Love from DC. Okay. Shout out to DC. Mm-hmm. Okay. Love Chocolate City.
I do too.
Mohania Sprout wrote this. It says, man, I love Rod and Karen. I look forward to catching up on a podcast each weekend because I like to dedicate my full attention. Even though y'all don't love talking about politics, I love when you do, especially during the election year. I also love hashtag walk-in, the book club, and the nerd off. But I'm here for whatever y'all want to talk about, though. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that is so nice. I love when somebody just trusts us and let us drive. You know, it must be how Uber drivers feel when they be like, don't worry about the map. I can get you there. And you just be like, all right, well, I'm going to trust you. You say you can get me there faster. I'm going to let you do your thing. And that's how I feel when people be like, whatever y'all want to talk about, I'm game. But yeah, it's weird because I feel like, we definitely talk about politics. I just try to frame it in, a way that we can still keep it some level of light and kind of partition it off in our heads. Yes. You know, because it kind of, everything is politics, right?
Everything.
And I know we're pretty, you know, pretty liberal. We're not like uber liberal, we're not like, you know, we're sucking Bernie Sanders dick or, you know, burn the whole country down liberal, but we definitely skew to the left. So but it's definitely, excuse me,
okay.
Definitely not because we're afraid to talk politics. I just wanted to be like that. I just want to clarify, you know, like I hate when I listen to a black show that's like, you know, we're not gonna get into politics, and it's really just them being like kind of cowardly, like might be some white people listening and we don't want to offend them. That's not like, we just kind of do it to spare our black ass audience some, to give them some relief sometimes.
Come on, sometimes, you know? It's so much shit going on, you're like, I need a break.
Yeah, this podcast is a lifesaver. This is from Joshua SW97, who says, I started listening to this podcast around 4 years ago and was instantly hooked. I love that Ryder Karen are hilarious, thoughtful, and unapologetically black. Well, I hate to tell you this, Joshua, but I'm a little bit apologetically black sometimes. Yeah, nobody's talking about this anymore, but you know, I don't, I sometimes, you know, like I just be like, oh, I'm so sorry I'm black. My bad. I didn't mean that, guys.
I'm not sorry.
Like, you ever just walk somewhere and then you just like you walk in a room and you're the only black person, you be like, oh, my bad, everyone. Sorry. I apologize.
Sorry I darkened the room.
Sorry for this blackness. I didn't really mean to whip all this out on you, okay? I know it's a bit shocking to me as well. Nah, I'm just joking. I don't know what apologetic blackness means. Like, I actually made a joke on Twitter the other day where I was like, some of you niggas is apologetically black. And it was a joke because I don't know what apologetic blackness is.
Nobody does.
But then people was retweeting it like, that's what I'm talking about. That, yes. And I said, don't encourage me. that was bullshit. I don't even know what that means. I can't think of an example who has apologetic blackness. Like, I can think of Coons, but I can't think of like a person that I'm like, this motherfucker is always sorry to be black, you know? Anyway, whatever the topic is, Ryder Karen will have a nuanced discussion that you don't get many other places. Their conversations resonate with the listeners and will have you thinking long after the show is over. This tag team duo really do it all, from talking about the news, playing games like my favorite, Guess the Race, and their newest segment, Reading Rainbow, where Rod reads excerpts from books and discusses it and how it may relate to current events. Karen is an absolute gem. Her laugh alone has healing powers, because when she lets loose, you can't help but laugh along with her.
Aw, thank you.
I say all this to say I'm forever grateful that I stumbled onto this show and have these amazing people in my life now. Rod will invite you all to the cookout, but he won't be there. That's correct.
He sure won't be there.
We can have a good time talking to Karen instead. Inside joke.
Yes, because I'm going to talk to you.
Make sure y'all stay 6 feet apart and wear masks to the cookout this year, okay?
We're going to assume that we're not going to have it until the vaccination is made. So the cookout is actually postponed to then. I don't know if they sent that memo out.
3 laughing emojis. Side note, I'm using my nephew's iPhone to lead this review. It's been long overdue. I follow you both on Twitter.
Linda, shout out to nephew's iPhone.
Linda Mitchell. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, baby.
And shout out to stealing phones. That's what we need more of, okay? We need that stealing phones in energy, okay?
Y'all know they got them accounts. Go ahead and write something on their behalf.
Also, I didn't mention it, but one of these 5-star reviews is actually for Spoilman Reviews Podcast, which, thank you.
Yay, thank you.
Rod and Karen rock. This is from US Steel 07. I first heard about this podcast when Rod was co-hosting with JL on his podcast. My first thought was, man, this dude Rod is cool. I'm going to have to check out his podcast. Then I heard Bomani Jones meeting Rod on this podcast, and I knew I had to check him out for real. Rod and Karen have awesome chemistry, and it shows in their work. I appreciate the level of nuance and the willingness to be neutral as possible. Appreciate you guys, and thanks for helping us get through COVID-19. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Shout out to JL and Bowen. What's so funny, particularly when people write in, it's hilarious when they be like, I didn't realize that Rod and Charlotte was you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's hilarious.
I do want to say, I don't feel like we're necessarily neutral, but I think what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be as honest and real as I can be about myself,
right?
You know what I mean? Because I feel like it's so and I mean I've been guilty of this too. This is not a like a necessarily a knock on other people, but it's so much incentive to like perform. And mm-hmm. I mean that for good and bad. Right. Like everyone, you can't have an opinion that's a 6. You gotta have a 10. You can't say I don't know what happened in this situation. You have to say I know everything about this situation, and I right. know what you should think about it as well. And I don't know all the time.
Right. And you can't say for certain things I don't have the energy or I don't care about certain things. Yeah. Like people act like you supposed to be on top of everything. That's impossible.
Yeah, or this is not my business. This isn't
right,
my lane.
Not my lane. I don't know anything about that.
You know, I just feel like it's funny that the people who like us anyway, a lot of them like that about us. But if you listen to other shows and if you listen to what we're told is supposed to, a show supposed to sound like, that's the direct opposite of everything people tell you. All the advice that we get is always like, no, you go fucking hard from time, you know, you only got to grab this person's attention, you don't got time for no damn 8-minute conversation on blah blah blah, like nah, you know, that's, we don't always have the answers. And I just try to keep that real, because I'm definitely like I definitely, like I said, am not neutral, because I feel like all our shit pretty much is on, leans to the left of the country for the most part. So I know, you know, it just, I, but then again, you know what, who's to define what the fuck is neutral,
right?
Like I guess neutral for, I'm thinking of it through the lens of whiteness, where neutral is like libertarians and shit, but maybe I'm neutral for a black person, I don't know, maybe. That's a good, you made me think. 2020, I'm an essential worker with one of those, this is from Kenny Jacks. I'm an essential worker with one of those big box retailers and a mental health clinic. People come in dressed like Who Shot John, no mask on themselves. no mask on themselves or their practically newborns. I'm almost always livid. I lost 4 people to this virus. People really have to get burned to understand what the fire is real.
Right.
This virus is very, very real. It's like watching Criminal Minds and them needing more deaths before they understand what the fuck is happening. Kenny Jackson. Yeah. First of all, thanks for the 5-star review.
Thank you.
We told y'all it could really be about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, I'm sorry to hear that you lost 4 people to right. it. It's really like people are losing people to this shit. I cannot believe how, you know, ignorant folks are being about this shit. It's, you know, I get why some of the protest stuff is happening, because I don't think that's necessarily organic. It's clearly constructed from right-wing propaganda and right-wing websites and stuff like that. So, you know, I like that kind of makes sense to me or whatever. Not saying it's okay, but it just kind of makes sense that, okay, well, these motherfuckers are straight up crazy and they don't care about people. But in general, there's a lack of caring. And then there's just this, like, I think just American, you know what it is? America is built on denial.
It is.
America is a country that was built on the land of the free while being the land of the slaves.
Come on.
And when that happens, that becomes our default for everything, I believe. We like flowery rhetoric. We like to pump on our chest and tell everybody, you know, we're the best and the richest and the greatest country. But, and that's not even just a Republican thing. Democrats do that a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, in moments like this, this is why we get fucked up even worse. It's because we'd rather have the image of pretending like everything's solved than to be like, no, what we're really solving is everyone staying in the house. You know, and that's unfortunate, because I think that's why you see people showing up at the grocery store with no mask and standing 3 feet from each other or whatever. And you see people going to the park and the malls and people at the wharf for crab legs and people having house parties. A big part of this is like the American value system is one that is very much like, we're just not going to pay attention to the structural inefficiencies and the rife, like, fucked up shit that's happening. We're just in denial about it, and
yeah,
that's why you know people aren't taking it serious.
Yeah, and also it just puts a magnifying glass on the cracks that were literally already there, because, you know, there are people in these groups that America as a whole has ignored, particularly like the homeless, the mentally ill, and people on drugs and all that shit, and this impacting them. And then you have people, like you said before, people are like, hey, most average person is, the average American is one paycheck away from being homeless, and people don't believe that, and this right here wiped out people's paychecks, and now people are homeless. And so now the same people that they turned their nose up and thought they was better than, they're out there in the same lines as they are. And I think that for a lot of people, it's a shock to their system. And also, a lot of people have died. It does might sound sad, but I don't think enough quote unquote people have died before people go, oh shit, it's real.
Yeah, I don't know what number it has to be.
Me, that's the thing. Nobody, I don't know either.
I have no idea. This just feels like one of those things where like, it's gonna be some massive fucking number. I saw yesterday, in California, there was like a thread that someone, oh no, not a thread. I think the news posted a thing, you know, on Twitter, like, this is a beach right now in California where Governor Newsom had to close the beach because people weren't practicing social distancing. And so he sent the police to close the beach, and there was a crowd, a mob of people who were like, we came out here to go to the beach. We don't give a fuck. And the replies to the thread is what I started looking at, right? And in the replies to the tweet, it was like, this is bullshit. We didn't even need the carrier that Trump and them sent that was supposed to be like a hospital, like a ship hospital. And they didn't need the one in New York either. And the hospitals here aren't even at capacity. There's like a lot of space in the hospitals. This is not real. This is basically not that it was a fake disease, but like the panic isn't real. The need for all this stuff to stay inside isn't real. Cause why would the hospitals be empty? And I was like, that is so stupid.
It's like that because they told y'all asses to stay at home,
right? I said that literally means that what they're doing is working. But think about what they're saying. We actually won't be satisfied that this is a problem until there's a whole lot of people dead and the hospital is over capacity,
right?
And we're doing what Italy does, where it's just like you come in and we just basically put you in a room to die.
It's sad, but for some people it got to be I'm sorry, your great grandma got to die. I'm sorry, your daughter, they have to die. Oh shit, it's real, bitch. We trying to avoid that.
And then the part that's more frustrating to me is that Black people are already having these results because we don't have the medical care. We don't, you know, we get sent back home 2 and 3 times,
right?
And, you know, and if you're listening to this, you know, I don't mean it in any offensive way, but like people throughout the week send me like, this person died, that person died, this person had this experience at the hospital and that experience. And you know, like, I guess with the presumption of like, maybe y'all could talk about it on the show, I'm not talking about that individually. The reason I'm not talking about that individually, one, we're doing everything we can with our platform to inform people about this shit and tell people the shit is real. But what I don't want to turn into is basically us reading you the tragedy and obituary and becoming a version of doom scrolling, but as a podcast. Cause I find that to not be healthy for myself, and I don't want to become a person that simply turns on here and reports like, and then this person died and then that person died. And I'm not just talking about celebrities. I mean, there's tragic Black stories constantly on any platform you're on online. That's just telling you like, and I feel for these people because they're spreading it. Why, not just cause these people might be someone they know or whatever. Also to warn you like, yo, stay at home. This is real. Put the mask on, you know, that kind of shit. So that's one of the reasons I haven't been sharing it, but I've seen them all. Like if you guys are wondering, I see the emails they send me. I mean, it makes me sad to read that shit. Because you know, these are people's lives, and to think that there's like almost the worst possible thing that could happen in a country like America was the disparity of it coming out in race, because then you have a bunch of white people that go, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to the beach. I think my chances are good that I'll get treatment. Even though they dying too, they still feel like as long as these niggers die first, I feel protected.
Well, yeah, and also on the low, social distancing is a privilege, and that's something that people don't want to talk about either.
Right.
Being able to separate yourself, being able to stay at home and still have a job is a privilege.
Yep.
Being, you know, being not having these jobs where you're being forced to come back to work because the quote unquote economy's opening up, you know, you're being forced to come back to, you know, work at a restaurant where, you know, we was watching the Daily Show and one dude was like, yeah, I've been in the restaurant industry for like 30 years and basically you have to be like 80 to 90% full in order to make a profit, but they want you to function at like 25 to 50%. He was like, that's impossible. So you have these restaurants where you're going to have these people coming in here, rotating shifts, touching shit, and nobody really knows. There's no real standards of or guidelines on certain things, and
well, there are, but it don't matter.
And that's true.
Like, because one, the shit changes about the disease,
right?
So people go, this is the only way you can get it, touching shit. Nope, you need mask. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. Well, you gotta have like the N95 mask or whatever. Well, no, if you wear a mask and the customer wears a mask, the chances of y'all transmitting it is extremely fucking low. No. But both of y'all need to be wearing a mask.
And most of the time,
and what happens when we see pictures online? Customers come in, no mask. The person got a mask on.
Yeah, you're defeating the purpose.
No point.
And the thing is, I think a lot of times people are shocked. I remember we took your car to the tire place, and everybody had a mask. They had a mask. We had a mask. Went to Chick-fil-A, they had a mask. We did a curbside pickup. Everybody have a mask. I was like, that's probably the best way to be about it versus you just breathing all over them.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's just a lot of stuff changing. But yeah, it's just, it's frustrating, man. I feel y'all. Like I don't want people to think that because we're not covering some of these more tragic stories that we don't care. It's literally, I don't want to just be the show that turns everybody to tears every week or every episode with another one of these stories.
That could be a lot, y'all.
I feel like most of the people listening to this already get it. Like, I hope there aren't people still listening to this that think, or maybe they are, and maybe we'll be the reason that it snaps for them. But this shit where people think, well, there's still room at the hospital, that must mean we can go to the beach again, is one of the most dangerous, asinine, short-sighted points of view I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, because all this dumb shit and them opening up the economy, you know, basically starting this weekend and this week opening up the economy, by the end of this month, we'll see those numbers spike right on back up.
Yeah, this is essentially like playing Russian roulette where the first couple bullets didn't kill you and then going, well, it's still room in the guns chamber. It's like, that's not the fucking point. Like, yes, there's still room in the fucking in the chamber. That's the point of the game, is to stop when not die. Anyway, we got episode 2093, Don't Feed the Haters. We got a couple comments as a feedback episode. D Ramsey says 5 stars, period. Love you both. Keep up doing what you're doing. We will. King says, when you guys are talking about the reasons why you stop reading just any old 5-star review, it reminded me a little of Vision soliloquy in Captain America Civil War. Just the fact that y'all shit is popping invites people to want to come fuck with you for clout, and indulging them by engaging with them is only encouraging other people to do the same. At the same time, I can also relate when you wake up like, you know what, I got time today, and it can be tough to resist the temptation to want to clap back all the time. I think that in general y'all do a great job of maintaining a balance between those two feelings. Thank you. We try, man. I know it's mostly me that tries. Like I said, Karen's much better at that, and I think it's almost effortless for her. But for me, it takes a lot for me to be like, you know, and I, honestly, I've seen the fruits of my, not labor, but I got the opposite of labor. The fruits of me being like, I'm not going
to
do
it. But you know, it is labor, because it's almost like you have to almost untrain yourself.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, how can I say this? Sometimes, because the way I view things, people think the things that I'm doing is not a form of fighting. Mm-hmm. Well, you just ignore. No. It is a form of fighting. It's just a different. Every fight doesn't require an axe. Sometimes it requires a scalpel, you know, but everybody wants to go at these things and just chop it down like a lumberjack. And sometimes it doesn't require that much brute strength to get the result that you want.
Well, it's like my man Bruce Lee said in the Enter the Dragon. There was this American, I think it was American, maybe it was British, but this asshole who wanted to fight Bruce Lee on the boat. They weren't even at the tournament yet. And he says, well, I can't fight you on this boat. We have to go out here on the on the ship, we have to actually take one of these small like rowboats and we'll get on that and we'll go fight. And the guy's like, okay. And he was like, he got the guy on the boat and then he untied the boat so that it wasn't tied as close to the ship, and he let it just float behind the ship, and the guy was stuck out there. And he said, what do you call, I think Roper was like, what do you call that technique? And Bruce Lee was like, the art of fighting without fighting. And that's what you just made me think about, was like, you know, because ultimately that dude had to stay on the back of the fucking ship until they docked, and he never got to fight Bruce Lee because, you know, essentially, because, and Bruce didn't expend any real energy, he just let the motherfucker like wear himself out, like going out there, float by yourself where you can't bother nobody, and I'm gonna live my life, and if anything we're gonna fuck with you, like we're gonna, you know, laugh at your ass being on the boat by yourself. So
I see it similar to a child having a tantrum, if I'm saying
temper
that.
temper tantrum. Yeah, I got
okay
you.
Yeah, I look at it similar to that, because a lot of times people do that to get your attention. The end result when children do that is to get your attention. That's what they want, is your attention.
And they win with that.
Right, so you have to find ways to maneuver around that or get them and teach them to understand it is better ways to get my attention than with this behavior.
Yeah, and it's like I was rewarding people for that for a long time on the show. It's, you know, it's like, you know, that game kids play where it just repeat everything you do. And it's like, you know, you can't win by engaging them in the game.
No, and also the thing is, if you were a child long enough, they'll get their shit together and then eventually come to you and talk like they got some sense. That's all I want you to do is talk to me like
yeah,
you got
and
some
in this
sense.
Case they won't.
Right, which is even
in this
better.
Case they won't. You don't even have that hope that it's a child, so a child is developing and learning. These people are grown. So they just fucked up and they gonna be fucked up, and there's nothing I can do to save them or talk to them or get them. You know, I had to rid myself of that ego that I had, because that's how I see it now, is ego. I felt like I was the person that could tell them that, hey, no, this is how you have to do it. But a lot of them feed off of that. You know, I've dealt with that before, people harassing me online and shit like that. It's like, oh, you're fucking insane, and you're insane and like 37. So I know there's nothing my black ass can say that's gonna fix this via the internet. So yeah, you know, I have to just mute you and move the fuck on.
Right. And the thing is, yes, they're still adults, but the behavior is childlike. That's why I'm kind of
explaining. Yeah, yeah, like yeah. That, we both agree. I was just saying, yeah, like with a child, there's hope. I'm right. Saying, shit, with a child, maybe they'll be like, oh, you know what? This behavior wasn't rewarded. I'm gonna change. Some of these motherfuckers so crazy, it's like you can't even give them the sense a child has. You're just like, I gotta move on.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, and the thing is, they will move on. Like, right. And that, and the end result is, I want you to move on,
or they won't. But I've moved on.
Correct.
The end result is I've moved on. That's not
correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's something like, I don't give a fuck if it's 20 years later, you still hate my guts. I've moved on. You got to deal with it.
Somebody got to move.
Don't
you
tell
me.
Yeah. Don't tell me. Tell your therapist. Is cable news doing a good job covering Trump? Yes or no? 8% of our audience says yes. I think I know who that guy was. And 92% says no. Vinny says they keep saying how he's lying about everything, but keep running his daily press briefings, analyzing every sentence and talking about his lies in every show for 24 hours. They make this grand presidential presentation about not putting him in, him on the air, only to give him, to go live from the White House every day. I have stopped airing this bullshit weeks ago. Yeah, I'd have stopped. Yeah. I like, I know they're in a tough position, but it's kind of because of the way the industry is built. You gotta make 24 hours of news, and Trump is he's like a fucking oil geyser of news. You know what I mean? It's just constantly spewing. And the temptation is too much, man, because people will watch that shit. And what would, you know, like I understand the dilemma. Like, what would we rather do? Ignore him, cover him, but don't show any footage of him, all that stuff, but then people don't watch? Well, nah, that's not, you know, so now we gotta talk about it. And if we're going to talk about it, we're going to take it to the next level. Bring on two people to argue about it. You know, bring on some people from his campaign. You know, listen to his fucking press secretary. And that's also the danger of him occupying that, because they can always stand behind tradition and be like, but we've always covered the presidential briefing. We've always done this. And he knows that. And he's going to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, he knows they're going to follow their rules. But at any time, most of them can be like, we're not covering it, just period. Like, we can cover some other shit.
We got episode 2094. Man, we're almost at 3,000. Praetheist. 2,100. What did I say? 3,000? I don't know math. Anyway. This is what J.L. Covan.
Jumped out of numbers.
Yeah, this is what J.L. Covan. Michelle says, not sure if you could tell, but some of the Spanish coronavirus songs you played are making fun of Chinese people. They are calling it the Chinese virus, or saying it came from China. No, we did not know. We do not speak Spanish.
We don't, baby. We did not know.
We also have never heard any of these songs before. We literally randomly put coronavirus in Spotify and hit play on the song. So
you just happen to be somebody that understood, because we didn't.
Yeah, if they racist, that's terrible. And I don't agree with the, well, I mean, I don't agree with their racism, obviously. But then I was thinking how we be playing Guess the Race and shit, and I was like, who the fuck am I to grandstand on this this piece of shit? Like, I feel like a hypocrite to be like, and these motherfuckers, but, you know, we don't play it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, because everybody's racist. Anyway, you guys get the point. I didn't know it was racist.
You know we didn't.
And I don't know enough Spanish to say if we play the next one, I'm going to be like, this is definitely racist. So I don't know. Thanks, Michelle. Brooklyn Shoebay says, I'm absolutely loving the coronavirus songs you've been playing. Are you creating it, or are you just playing a pre-made list on Spotify? I'm just searching coronavirus and pressing play. I can make a playlist of what I've played so far and share it if you guys would like me to do that. And then I'll add it to the show notes in one of the episodes.
Okay.
My youngest daughter is 13 and into punk and metal, and has some suggestions for you. This is how we keep it lighthearted during Rona lockdown. Punk and metal. I mean, do the song have coronavirus in the name? If it's named coronavirus, I'll play it. If it's just talking about coronavirus, then I won't. That's the truth. Okay. Love, love, love when you have JL on. He's just a smart and funny dude. I like hearing his political takes and theories. I will pre-order his album. Some of these pastors are tripping during this lockdown. I'm so mad. Yeah, and JL's albums did go to number one on Amazon and iTunes, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I don't know if it was number one overall or number one in, I know it's definitely number one in comedy. So I don't know where it ended up on the overall list, and I also don't know how the Billboard things works and when you find that out or any of that stuff. But I am glad that it went to number one. That screenshot is always, it always makes me so happy, because I feel like, you know, we don't have the biggest audience, but we have a very, very like active, loyal, just amazingly like passionate audience. Like I could not be more proud of our audience. If long after we're done with this show or whatever, that'll be the best accomplishment, is that we just had an audience of like fucking people I would like to know,
right?
You know what I mean? As opposed to you know, an audience full of assholes I wouldn't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole. Like I love that we have an audience that every time we've ever like ran into a fan and just like passing and shit,
it's always been great.
Like, so I if nothing else tells me we're on the right path, is that, you know what I mean? Because you know, I don't want to have to get like a bodyguard to watch my back because I'll be talking shit on a fucking podcast, right? Like some of these people. Shira, or is it Shira? S-H-E-E-R-A. Shira says, JL's talk about the grocery stores has me in my feelings. I'm one of those employees. I've gotten two $25 gift cards. Thanks. Our company has been providing us with free lunch, and since the end of March, this week is the cutoff, but I'd much rather boost to my hourly pay.
Right.
We're getting two separate bonuses, but when it comes to our yearly pay raise in July 30th, since isn't going to cut it. None of us are teenagers. I'm the second youngest person in my department, and I'm 34. The oldest guy is in his 50s. Work has been super stressful for so many people. It's weird to not be able to get close and chat with coworkers. Having to wear a mask has been so surreal. Having people dodge me and get out of my way is also wild. I get it, but it's been hard to get used to. I'm so glad I found a therapist before all of this went down. I would be in worse shape. Take care. Yeah, Shira. Thank you, Shira. Thank you. And I definitely empathize with y'all, because y'all are literally on the front lines, and people talking about some the heroes and clapping at 7 o'clock for all the nurses.
Pay me.
Where the money?
Pay me.
Every other kind of hero, we want to give them some money.
Pay me.
Right. Every other kind of hero, we want to give them some money, right? Compensate them for this shit. You know, make sure they got good health care in case they get sick from it, you know? Like,
this, yeah, you clapping and go back into the safety of your home. Pay me.
Yeah, the story of these people like getting sick and dying and all this shit is not, that's not heroic for me. That just shows us what a failure of a fucking society we are, where, you know, we, the only thing we got for you are these long ass platitudes about how we, you know, how heroic you are. But really, we trotting you out to die like a fucking soldier in the infantry, you know? Like, that's right. Crazy.
Something that y'all, you know, you're like, look, I don't work at the hospital. I work at the fucking grocery store. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Right. The Lakers motherfucking haven't taken money out of the fund for the paychecks. And we're sitting up there like, you know, I mean, they gave it back, but the fact that there's money for that, but not money. Like, Democrats had to fight to give money to hospitals for them to be able to pay overtime staff, buy supplies and shit. Like, they had to fight for that. Republicans weren't even gonna put that in. They had to fight for that, the thing that of all the money shit that seemed like the easiest one to sell. They hate God. All right. Classic R&B lover says, hello Rod and Karen, I love when JL's on the show. I definitely pre-ordered Fireside Craps the Deuce. Whenever I see his name, I know that not only will I be laughing, but I'll be learning about politics, comedy, or whatever the topic is. I agree the choice must be either Abrams or Harris. I'm leaning in favor of Abrams simply because Harris has a Senate seat, and that's one more Democrat to support Biden in office. Like I said, Val Dennings will work for me too. I know she's a cop. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only with the black people that's got to stop everything.
Right.
Shit, you know who else is a cop? Eric Holder. Y'all don't never talk bad about Eric Holder. Eric Holder locked up a whole lot of black people in DC area. Y'all niggas do not talk about it. Why? Cause he's a fucking man. Anyway. I'll vote for any of them, but if we're being frank, I'll vote for anyone he puts on a fucking ticket with him. I don't care. Mm-mm. Like, it's not, you know, like, it's not some make or break deal for me, but I just think the smart thing, the best choice is Stacey Abrams. I don't even think it's that's just because she's a black woman or anything. I just think her fucking work lines up with exactly what this election is about, which is getting voters out. This is what this whole election needs to be about. You know, I think this is where Hillary came up short. If there was one thing in Hillary's campaign that I would have said, yep, that's an area she could have did better, and I don't feel like there were a lot of areas, but picking Tim Kaine as her VP was it.
Right.
That was it. Like, that wasn't the time to make the safe white man choice. Now, I know why, because she was trying, her weakness, quote unquote, was essentially not being a white man.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to go with a white man because America's so fucking sexist. In her mind, in her campaign's mind, I'm sure they thought, well, this will give us some white male voters. The problem is, white men, white people are never voting Democrat, ever. It's not gonna happen. We will always lose the plurality of whiteness. Ever since the fucking Civil Rights Act passed, we have lost white people forever. Stop trying to do that. I fucking love when Biden said it was nothing he could do to get a Trump voter, and I said, okay, you're learning. The poll, which one black woman VP would you want the most? And the options: Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, or Val Dennings. I threw Michelle Obama in there because white people always do that.
Stop that. She's not running.
That was a trick. Everyone who voted Michelle Obama, you all failed. I just want you to know.
You got an F.
10% of y'all failed this test. Okay? That was
a trick question.
That was basically a none of the above.
Yes, it was.
You fell for it. Anyway, Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, Val Dennis, Carrie.
Oh, Abram.
Abrams 54%, Kamala Harris 34%, Michelle Obama 10%, and Val Dennis 2%, because none of you niggas know Val Dennis.
Nah, I don't.
I can't even knock y'all, because, you know, I learned about her from a podcast, listening to, I think, Cape Up was when I first heard. I was like, okay, all right. Brooke Lachoubet says, we must protect Michelle Obama at all costs, which means keeping her out of politics. My heart can't take it. My pressure already stay high with President Trump. Well, Brooke Lachoubet, you passed the test, okay? That was a trick question. Everybody knows Michelle Obama don't want to be no motherfucking politician.
Mm-mm.
She fuck around, say some real shit, everybody lose their goddamn minds. She already was like one slip up from just like taking it all down them 8 years they was in. I know she's sick of white people.
Of them, yes. The second they got out of office, she was like, y'all gonna get all these long ass legs, y'all gonna get all these fucking bare shoulders, y'all gonna see all the elbows, I'ma wear the booty shorts, fuck y'all.
Right. You know, so you just can't don't let these motherfuckers listen. From this point on, all it's gonna be is an attack on any of his people in his camp for Biden, because these Bernie people have basically turned it into, well, since we couldn't win by getting people to vote for Bernie, we're gonna try to disqualify Joe Biden by playing up this Tara Reid accusation to the point where we're gonna try to disqualify him as a candidate. And what that's gonna do is the same thing they've been doing, poison the well so much that they hope to lower voter turnout. These people want nothing more than another 4 years of Trump.
Right.
Because they know they ain't getting 4 years of Bernie. You know, so that's one of the reasons that you have to be careful engaging these motherfuckers. And the other thing is they don't want anyone to say they just don't believe Tara Reid, or that they just don't find her accusations to be credible. It's the one thing you can't say as a liberal person. You have to say every accusation is da 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 and it's all credible and we believe everything and trust women. And I've been telling y'all for years at this point on this show, to me, believe women is not, let's not even say women, believe people, accusers, is not then you just fucking do whatever the fuck they say, no matter what. Okay, cool, nothing has to line up, you said that. That's not what it means. It always just means look at the fuck, give it the same fucking weight you would to the person that's saying I didn't do it. Give it the same weight, give it the consideration, look into it,
investigate. That's the thing. The problem is that a lot of times there's no investigation. That's where people's outrage comes from.
What was happening before this was before people were quote unquote not believing women, what it was so-and-so sexual assault of me, bitch, shut up, we don't, leave him alone, no, we not looking into this. Okay, that was it. That's what it used to be. What we have now is kind of like a process where people go investigate via confirming secondary sources, if there's any evidence of like police investigation, if there's anything, paper trail, stuff like that. And you know, people investigated this thing with Tara Reid so far, and you know, her multiple changing stories, her flat out supported the dude, even up to like 20, whenever she flipped to go to be like, I want Russia, then I want Bernie, and when Bernie loses, well, Biden's a rapist now, like, trying to find the paperwork, trying to find coworkers that could corroborate the shit. Like, they've investigated this as much as they can. Now, if that means Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, and all, Hillary Clinton, and all these people feel like, yeah, it's been investigated, and essentially, I believe Joe. I don't know why that makes them bad people. You know what I mean? If they essentially said, yes, I did look at this, we do need to believe women, we do need to trust women, blah, 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 but at the same time, in this situation, I believe, you know, I still support Joe Biden, and I believe Joe. I don't know what they're supposed to do, dog. Like, so, because essentially what you're saying is you can't say that. You have to always be like, no matter the probability of it, no matter the holes in the story, no matter the loop, anything, you just have to be like, yeah, man, he did it. And so that's the weird thing, you know? So I feel like people just don't, and I, you know, like I said, this is the one of the reasons I stopped even talking about these things on the show, and this way before Joe Biden or any of this shit, is because I've noticed the change in tenor of the discussion, and it wasn't a discussion anymore.
Mm-mm.
It was just so-and-so was accused of something, that's it.
That's it. We're not investigating. We don't want no facts. Don't invent. Nope.
Like, facts became inconvenient for a lot of people. This doesn't Come mean on. People aren't doing shit. You see it all the time. But, you know, I also reconciled a long time ago that we're essentially at the point now where everyone gets quote unquote one, because we don't have a perfect system. Nobody knows what happens when two people disagree like that. And so what we've mostly been waiting on is for other people to come forward. Someone accuses somebody of something, and then other people come forward like, and that happened to me, and that happened to me, and that happened to me, and then we go, oh yeah, this happened to 12 people, this motherfucker did this shit, right? Sometimes two or three, you know. And with her, unfortunately, she's accused him of something, and nobody else has had that experience. There's been people that are like, yeah, he's inappropriate, but not sexually, blah blah blah. And mostly what I'll say to wrap it up, mostly he gonna be fine because he's a white man, and this is why the fuck people voted for him.
And
because not even this can fuck with him, and this is like that kind of shit that people thought could tear Trump down, but Trump just hides behind being a white man, and people go, yeah, leave him alone, he's the real victim. And yeah, Biden can still be supported because he's a white man. This would be tarnish any of those other black and brown people that were on that ballot, would have tarnished their legacy, would have fucked them all the way up. Joe Biden, he gonna straight white man his way all the way through this shit. I didn't do it, leave me the fuck alone. And that's how everybody's gonna treat it, because he's a white dude, and that's why the fuck he can win president.
That's why they put him up there.
So, but anyway, yeah, good luck, you know, to everybody involved. But yeah, that I'm not arguing with nobody online about that shit. Mm-hmm. I've read more about that in the last, like, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks, and like listened to the podcast on it, everything, and was just like, yeah, at best we don't know what the fuck happened. At worst, he did it and got away with it, I guess.
Right.
And at best, she lying. And if you feel like you can determine any of that from reading all that shit, to me, you need to examine yourself. If you feel like you know for a fact he either A, completely 0% chance he did that shit, or B, 100% chance he did it, and like, I don't, like, if you, then you need to look at yourself. Cause all the shit I read, and I was like, I don't fucking know what happened. You know. Anyway, man, don't engage with people online, cause them motherfuckers are, it's a hive. And they really, the other thing, I don't know if y'all noticed this too, but I'm glad this came up now. Have y'all noticed that if you go on Twitter and watch it, they hop on black people more than white people? Who, like, some white people are coming out and straight up being like, Joe Biden didn't do that shit, and people are not in their mentions the same way that they are in like a Stacey Abrams or Tarana Burke, or it's been really weird. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but just start looking for that. I'm not saying they're bots or anything, it just seemed like when it's like black people talking about the shit, they be in our mentions hard. But when it's like white people coming, white people just out there, you know, white people don't give a fuck. They just out there like, they didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? like leave Joe alone. And I'm like, I go in they mentions looking for the people being like, you motherfucker. And it's like 7 replies. That's it. They've been in Tarana Burke's fucking mentions for over, you know, days now. And she didn't even say nothing that definitive. Like, she just was like, I don't know what happened. I'm not saying nothing. This, you know, I'm not saying nothing. It didn't happen. I still feel like we should support Biden, but blah, blah, blah. And they was like, no, we on your ass. So I don't know, y'all. Anyway. Episode 2095, Diamond and Silk fired. D. Ramsey says, 5 stars for the dance party celebrating Tata and Tot being let go from Fox News. Brooklyn Shoebase says, I love you niggas. I was dancing around my living room singing in celebration. It's time. I know you were serious in your joy when you broke out Tariq Nasheed. Get itchy and scratchy. Get itchy and scratchy out of the paint. Thank you.
Come on.
Sofa King says, y'all, someone online referred to Diamond Silk as the minstrel show, and minstrel spell like minstrel, like period blood type.
Oh no.
And now I can't breathe. That's pretty terrible. Minstrel show. Evie says, if Diamond Silk,
wrong with y'all niggas.
If Diamond Silk hadn't cooned so hard for a man who was only propping them up to prove he's not racist, even though he clearly is, I'd actually feel sorry for them. But fuck them. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. Yeah, EVE, I'm not even gonna front. I wouldn't feel sorry for them either way. Cause like, what you just described is basically, Stacey Dash, when she got let go of Fox, and she was like, it's racism, y'all. They just got rid of me like I wasn't important. And you know what? I felt nothing. She didn't even go up for Trump like that. And I didn't feel nothing in my heart. I was like, you don't sit your ass down, okay?
I was like, okay.
You fucked all these boners up with your opinions, okay? Everybody had a boner for Stacey Dash for 20, 30 years at this point. And she just threw it all away to go get a check from Fox News. Ain't that some sad shit, man? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when you was in King Magazine. Now look at you. Looking like the Prom Fiend Magazine. Dia says, my sister and I talked about that woman from Idaho and all the white folks protesting. It is just another example of how some people, guess the race, aren't accustomed to follow the rules and or doing anything that remotely looks like a loss of privilege. Coincidentally, the black folks we know have not had a hard time following the distancing orders because we've been following rules all our lives. And it has nothing to do with being weak-minded followers. When you come from generations that had to take basically a unpassable test to vote, can't sit in certain places, and all the unspoken rules that come with just being black, you're just genetically predisposed to following the rules and dealing with bullshit. They say leave the park, we leave. They say you can't come around without a face covering, we cover our face. They say stand on the X, we stand on the X. But also, we know the virus is disproportionately killing us, and I feel like once that message got out, people were like, this is against my constitutional rights. Kids, we going to the park.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting, because going to the store, I feel like I've been seeing less black people with masks in my area lately. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it's hot outside, and the discussion has now become about reopen the country. Mm-hmm. And it's moved away from nigga, if you get this, you probably gonna die, which is what we need to get it back to, which is nigga, if you get this, you might die.
Yeah, I'm wearing my goddamn mask.
Darian Fox says, Maine, I love it when the Fox News coons get fired. BET money, bet money. BET, that I'm so black, I read bet as BET. That man said bet, and I was like, BET money. Sorry. Bet money, and I almost did it again. Bet money any day now. Sorry, things keep hitting my mic. Any day now, there'll be in some article blaming their firing on racism. Talk about how their other co-workers were saying the same things like 2 seconds ago, and maybe they'll be right, but the irony is so sweet. If you hold water for racists, you're gonna get wet. Fuck cubic zirconium and polyester. Glad I could party on them with y'all. Thank you. Here's what I say though, I don't even like, I think they did deserve to get fired, because in my imagination, I don't watch Fox News, but in my imagination, I bet when the rest of the channel got the message, they kept going, because that's what mm-hmm. the fuck they do. And because if like the genius of Dominant Silk is that they are protected by the same anti-blackness that Republicans claim don't exist. Think about it this way. There is no fucking way white Fox News people would ever give a job to two fucking redneck country bumpkin motherfuckers who got up there and put on a goddamn chicken shaking show every rally for Donald Trump. They would never do that. They would not even let that person in the fucking door at Fox News. They wouldn't give them a show. They wouldn't write them a check for nothing. Right? And then this is the same people that go, racism doesn't exist. Black people just making a big deal out of nothing. This all about their own personal responsibility they refuse to take, and they don't, their family's all fucked up, blah, blah, blah. So what black people do they put on there with these other white people that, you know, at least have some pedigree? They put these niggas. The most, like, you know, stereotypical all the shit that they think about black people are these two women. You know, you never see the black family, you never see them with husbands nowhere, right? You never see their kids or nothing like that. They just literally, they're the equivalent of just that at their one whatever rally where they put the Blackface Obama minstrel show on before they started. Yeah. That's essentially what Dominic Silk are. Like they are entertainment to these white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, of course they're expendable. They were only there to be entertainment. And what I imagine is that they have been able to go much further with their commentary than the white people, even at Fox News.
Of course.
Because Fox News has some level of expectations of those white people. Mm-hmm. And they send the memo out and they go, hey, we are no longer saying that chloroquine is going to cure people because we about to get sued. So stop doing that shit. And, you know, all those people that work there, Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and shit, like,
that
we got to stop. And of course these niggas probably was on Twitter going extra ham and it's gonna kill y'all, Mr. Trump gonna do it y'all, and because they have been able to get away with that kind of anti-factual, lazy intellectual, red meat serving so fucking long, dog. They've been able to make cake off of that. So to them it's like, why y'all stopping the party now? So of course they went too far, and it's not racism because the other people didn't. Everybody else is like, I got the memo, we got to stop. They black ass up there like, Mr. Trump said, you better drink that bleach. Girl, I got me a cup of bleach right now. I'm about to drink it down. And they said, go ahead, get their ass up out of here. Sim Simmer says, I listened to all the music three times. The whole party? Three times. And that was after watching live on Crowdcast. It was a full dance party for real. They could take off their disguises, wear face coverings, and hide in plain sight now. So I have no sympathy. Love to see it. Yeah, and I think they also have already had like a Patreon or something like that anyway. So they probably got
money. They got a built-in audience.
Do you make time to be creative? Yes or no?
Me, not now. Probably need to, like, actually be creative, but I haven't really sat down and been creative for years. Last time I was actually creative is when I was sewing, and that's been 10 plus years ago.
That's interesting how you define creative. I thought I saw you using my colored pencils the other day to do some stuff.
I had a ball,
so that don't count.
I guess as I was coloring the coloring book, like something that was there, I was thinking creative, my mind thinking I am creating something kind of out of me and putting it out into the world, kind of type of thing, like when I used to make, you know, the bags and the quilts, stuff like that. Like that's where my mind went for creative. But there's different ways of being creative. I didn't look at that as being creative.
Yeah, but what else you did? You were the one that came up with us doing this coronavirus sale thing. A whole lot of people signed up.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So,
but my mind always ticked like that.
And but that's creativity.
Okay.
You know, that was what we talked about on the show in the Reading Rainbow, that segment, is how much, you know, creativity kind of integrates into things. So you are creative. You know, you think of stuff all the time. I think also
my mind's always in the clouds with a lot of stuff, but
I think also with your Farm Together video game, there's a lot of creativity there, because it's about placing things in certain areas. It's about,
you know,
really, like, you know, it's like you're building your own land or whatever,
you know. And I think the more and more you talk about it, yes, cause I love that video game a lot, and I think that yes, you basically are taking a blank slate and you put stuff out there and you put it down, and you can redo it, you can take it away, you can mix and match and balance it. You literally can do, I didn't think it like that, literally whatever you want to with no rules or regulations. And that's why I'm the most creative, when I'm able to be somewhere and there's no restraints or restrictions, or you can do this and you can't do this, and it doesn't have to even make sense. You know, if I end it, can be done.
So I just think it's interesting, because I think also we come down on ourselves about our creativity a lot of times. People are like, I'm not using it, I'm not doing that. And I think, you know, if we creatively think about it for a second, we are, you know. At any rate, I mean, obviously with what we do for a living, I feel like that's creativity anyway. So even if you would have said no, I feel like, you know, when you come on here with your random thoughts, the ways that we, you know, you engage the show, the things you talk about, that's all creativity too.
Okay. Yeah, because like I said, it's never really thought it's quote unquote being creative, but it is a form of creation.
Yeah, and it turns out that 55% of our audience says no, and 45% says yes. And I think it's also because a part of what we define being an adult is no longer doing those things.
That's true too.
You know, we limit ourselves. All right, and then the last episode of the week, because we didn't do a show Wednesday because Karen needed a nap.
Y'all, I was so tired. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, I'm tired too. I thought about taking this week off. I don't think I'm going to, but might take a couple of days off and stuff like that. You know, just we've been in quarantine for a while. And we've pretty much been doing a show almost every day.
Yeah, and, yeah, it's been stretches where we've been going like 7-14 days kind of straight. So
and
yeah.
For it's like 2 days. Sometimes I do two in a row, like mm-hmm. two, like me and Bossy, and
don't mind it at all. But every now and then, your body's like, you know what? I've had enough. Because at first, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take a little nap, and that nap turned into the next day.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So the had a comment on the episode with Mike B. Brooklyn Shoebay says, I was so happy to hear old Mike B on the Blackout Tips. It was like two of my great taste coming together for a greater taste. Now correct me if I'm wrong. This was a really good episode with the guest, the bits and such. The Blackout Tips has really been on fire the past few weeks. You just have me laughing and pointing at my cell phone like you can see me and agreeing with you. You helping me through the quarantine. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Glad to be helping. Mm-hmm. Then we had the poll as well. Give me 1 second. All right, the poll. Are you getting sick of the people you're quarantined with? Yes. It's just me, baby, and I'm sick of myself. I'm my own best company. Or no. Karen?
No.
All right. I'm also in the it's just me, baby, I'm sick of myself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in no, obviously.
I'm about to say, the am I not here?
Yeah, 35% so.
Yeah, it's because most of the time we in two separate rooms.
Yeah, I just also, you know, I don't get sick of you.
Same. I don't get sick of you. You and I got a handful of other people that I don't mind spending long extended periods of time with. A lot of people can't, and I don't mean in a bad way. You know, I'm talking to talk, but you know, it's very few people that I could kind of just be like that and be myself for long periods of time, and they not look at me like.
What I say? Oh, 15% say yes, they are sick of the people they're around.
Yeah, because it's a common thing. Because I know I'm a talker, as y'all can tell doing the podcast, all these thousands of episodes. But yeah, as I was one of them kids, you would be like, if you just be quiet, just shut up. Like, I just had to say something. As I got older, I've learned. Is the time to speak and the time to be quiet. So I know I can be a lot.
So 15% say yes, they are sick. Or the person they're around, the people they're quarantined with. 18% say, it's just me, baby, and I'm sick of myself. I feel you. Like, now you don't got nobody else to blame shit on. It's like, just you. I'm my own best company. 32% of y'all are absolutely fine right now. I love that. Love that. And then of course 35% not sick. So we got 7 comments. Mimi says, I'm over this confinement. I'm sick of me. LOL. I need someone else to feed off their energy and blame for random things. Alicia says, I love my kids, but I've been sick of them. And my eight year old actually expects me to keep her entertained and blames me for her boredom. I pray it's safe enough to open schools in August.
Yeah, and that's the thing about children. They get around a certain age. They want you to be the entertainment. You like, no, fine. You need to be creative and find some shit to do, baby. All these electronics and toys and shit. You mean tell me you can't entertain yourself?
Brooklyn Shoebay says, so far my kids are not fussing with each other. Usually after 6 weeks of summer break, I'm ready to send them back to school. So as long as they act right, I'm not sick of them yet. LOL. Yeah, I think also, like, the kids probably a little bit, you know, freaked out by this too.
Because it is impacting them, right?
Miss Barnes says, it's just me, and I will say that I'm tired of cooking for myself, and I will order out. You know, I love cooking, but yeah, every once in a while I will be like, not tonight.
Tired. Yeah.
You know. Static says, I'm moving out as soon as this shit is over. Tish says, I live with four people and two dogs in a two-story house. We have enough space to leave each other alone, and we'll have movie and game nights to shake things up. I already have to manage clinical depression, so the added mental distress from the Rona and the fact that I now live in Florida where people in charge are Florida manning shit up is just a shit sandwich. I recently spent a whole day without interacting with anybody else, but the next night I went ahead and peopled a little bit. I would have been pulled out of my room if I kept myself much longer anyway. Good thing about living with actual friends is that we give each other space, but no, we can count on someone to keep us from getting too low. That is nice, man. I'm glad you still in a place with good friends like that, because like I saw people in some fucked up situations, man, you know. And
that, right, when hearing about the stories, you be like, I didn't even think about that. That's fucked up.
Right, some people in like abusive situations, some people, you know, situation where they gonna get divorced. We was just talking about Jay Cutler and his wife Kristen Cavallari, and they was like stuck in the Bahamas or some shit for like, or the Caribbean for like 6 weeks, and at the end of it, it's like, we getting divorced. I'm like, damn. And it's a petty divorce too. Sim Simmer says, I miss hugs, and I'm overcooking just for me. I got a weighted blanket and it's been comforting and has helped a lot with my sleep. Day 54 of solo quarantining today, and this is harder than I thought it would be. Yeah, and I heard the another thing I saw, I think on a Daily Show, they were saying that people's dreams have been affected by it too. People are having more dreams, and some people are having like nightmares and shit, and it's like recurring certain type of feelings and stuff, because everybody's basically, you know, dealing with this shit at the same time.
Yeah, I could see it, because that's the thing, it affects you mentally, and the thing is, mental states affect dreams and sleep patterns and the deepness of your sleep and things like that. Like, those things actually matter. I know for me, I was almost the opposite. Like Roger said, I love to nap, and I was like literally not sleeping. Like, would be up for hours and hours and hours on end, go to work, be up for hours and hours on end, and just mine did the opposite. Like, my brain wouldn't tick off. Like, it was just on overload. Like, okay, what do I do, you know? And then I had anxiety, you know, scared to go outside. Like, my brain was kind of all over the place. So you have people that have these dreams, you have some people that are going to opposite, they're lacking sleep.
Yep. So, and then when you sleep, you know, you're having a nightmare, so then you probably make you not want to sleep as much, you
correct
know? So I think a lot of us are dealing with it in different ways. We had one voicemail. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line.
Hey, what's up, Ron and Karen? This is Mark in Brooklyn. Just wanted to tell a quick story that came to my mind. Instagram booty models caught the follow. Yeah, they're always a problem when you have too many on your feed, especially in certain places. Like, first time I noticed a wedding in the church, and I was scrolling on Instagram, and all the booty models came up. So I heard some of them, and only follow a couple of them. But one of them is Dominique Chin, that she mentioned on the show. So I stopped following her. I ain't following her in a while.
What?
And for some reason, last night, though, I had a dream. I had a sex with her. Mm. And then you mentioned her on the show today. That was crazy. I have dreams all the time. I wish I had dreams to make me some money, but unfortunately, I don't. So I just had to share that. I was wondering why I had a dream about her. All right. Take it easy.
That's crazy. What are the odds of all the Instagram models to be dreaming of having sex with? That you dream about the one that I just randomly, that I didn't even plan to bring Dominique Chin up. That was just a random thing that happened talking to Mike, but it makes sense. Man, you can't be the only brother dreaming about having sex with Dominique Chin. That's why she's Dominique Chin, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't fly them out for nothing, okay?
Come on.
But yeah, my favorite is when niggas be like, I would never mess with an Instagram model. I'm like, nigga, an Instagram model would never mess with you. What are you talking about?
Right.
That is not how that works. Mm-mm. These women have the pick of the fucking litter. Like, she gonna be, I can either go to Drake's luxurious mansion, or I can hang out with John in his one bedroom apartment. I don't know. I was close one. Like, I'm pretty sure we're not on the menu, okay?
Yeah, you know you are not.
We're not on the menu because the shit they eat isn't on our menus, okay? We don't have the...
You got a car that can be pronounced like a Toyota. You ain't right. Got them cars that got letters and symbols and shit and don't nobody know what it is.
I wear a Fitbit, not a Millet. So it's just whatever it is, dog. We got some emails. Let's get to these. You can thank you for the call.
You can
email us, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com is the email address. You know, we try to get to the ones that we can. Wait, what time are we at?
1:46.
Okay, we got time. All right. So Leonardo writes in, hey, you guys have been on the road lately. I love the COVID updates as I don't listen to the news. My wife is a nurse and our worlds have changed on account of this virus, but your episodes have been one of the stable things I listen to. I get my updates from you all and her. She has been working with the COVID patients, and in these times we think that is the safest route because you don't know what is going on in other parts of the hospitals. Our daughter has been on quarantine before the national one and surprisingly has adjusted to a new norm. Surprisingly, we have made it this far and not gotten sick, but we stay away from people because we don't know if we are carrying. Thank you so much for the updates. No problem, man.
Mm-hmm. No problem, baby.
The black capitalism stuff is so funny. Working up for a big bank, I find it hilarious. One of the first times you did it, I was working on my roof and almost lost my life messing around with y'all. Whoa, sorry. I mean, glad you enjoyed yourself, but I mean, I don't want nobody to die. Mm-mm. Not over these jokes.
Don't want them coming in there and have us talking in the background laughing.
Yeah, man, that black capitalism shit is so funny, man, because it's just so, I don't know, it's so performative and short-sighted.
Come on.
Like, we gotta stop hating on black people for fucking surviving the same fucking system we're in.
Come on,
like,
the same system.
We have got to stop, you know. Like, that's why I try to be so ridiculous with it. That one about the nurse this week was hard because I had to come up with a way. She did all the things right, and then at the end they monetized that hospital. I was like, got her. Also, have you watched the new season of Black Lightning? And good looks for sharing random acts of flyness on HBO. You two are a national treasure. Love. Yeah, we love Black Lightning.
We do.
Like, not even on some like for a CW show shit. I just fucking love that show.
Yeah, and I'm so glad the stunt people from the era went to Black Lightning because this season has been lit with the action.
I can't believe people don't really fuck with Black Lightning like that. Like, especially other black people. I know we're not a monolith and you don't have to like everything, but maybe they just don't like those kind of shows anyway.
Some of them don't.
But
right?
I guess for me, since I'm already watching fucking all them other CW shows, that's like my favorite one, especially after Arrow was over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they be doing the blackest shit. They just be like black for no reason in all the best ways.
Corny and campy, but shit, all them CW shows is corny and fucking campy.
And then this season when they got the fucking like stunt and choreography for fights
and
together.
You can tell, and it like this, and Wayne Brady was on there.
Oh, Wayne Brady.
Oh, he made this season.
So good.
I hope that nigga come back.
I don't know, man. Hey, whatever, man. Here we go. Someone sent basically an obituary of someone that died from the coronavirus. I'm not gonna read it, but yeah, I see these. I saw her story. It's sad, man. Sean says, possible good news, Rod and Karen, if you're not sure if you covered this, went premium and now 3 episodes behind the regular feed. But there appears to be good news about COVID-19, a vaccine for SARS-CoV-2 is in human trial. Yeah, we covered that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. Still looking for more information, but it appears the vaccine may be ready as early as July, although they are projecting September as a likely conclusion. They also appear to be producing it before trials have been completed. This means if the trials are successful, millions of people could get the vaccine this year. That and a number of treatment options in the works that could help decrease the need for ventilators by the end of May or June could help a lot. This is also very good news for the next November when hospitals will be hit by the trifecta and COVID resurgence, flu season, and Rona babies. I've been looking at June 2020 for treatments, June 2021 for a vaccine, and 2025-ish for economic/PTSD related endpoints to this crisis. It looks like those numbers may be May 2020, September 2020, and 2024-ish for economic PTSD related endpoints to the crisis. Just thought I would share some positive news, Dr. Gay. Thanks, Dr. Gay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we did cover the trials and stuff on the first one. We'll see how everything plays out, but you know, I personally feel optimistic about it, man. I'm not like I'm really fighting hard to not be some naysaying ass doom scrolling everything is the worst type of person about this shit, because I don't think people appreciate that. You know, while I'm realistic and I'm, you know, I'm never gonna try to lie to people, I think people don't understand that we're in a bubble, that we're so anti-Trump, we're so anti-Republican, that it's almost like people want shit to keep being bad to solidify that we don't fuck with Trump or something, or solidify the bad president. Dog, the damage is done. He a bad president. And people keep being like, well, if only 200,000 people die, he gonna be like, well, at least what, 2 million? 200,000 people, still a lot of people, it's not like the people who were gonna vote for him were gonna be like, well, 2 million, I changed my mind. And it's not like the people that weren't gonna vote for him were gonna be like, 200,000, I changed my mind. Like, nothing changed from this. You know, still fuck that nigga. Lastly, Miss Stacy says, I did it. Dear Rod and Karen, thank you for offering the coronavirus quarantine special. I took advantage of it and have finally gone premium. I have been an avid listener for a few years. You all have entertained me through the unemployment, the aftermath of Hurricanes Irma and Maria, and now the coronavirus quarantine. I guess I'm essential because I work for the local utility company, so I'm blessed not to have missed a paycheck. But you all have really helped me during this downtime because I'm usually always on the go from morning till night. I'm looking forward to reviewing the premium content. Peace be unto you both. Of you, stay safe. Kind regards, Miss J. Thank you.
Welcome to the club.
That, like I said, that's Karen's idea, man. She's like, and it was a popular idea. A lot of people premium.
I'm glad.
A lot of people that were maybe paying yearly or monthly, mm-hmm, switched over to it.
Right.
So, you know, it was a great idea. It's, you know, sales over. It ended last night at midnight. I didn't feel like waking up at midnight to fix it. So, some of y'all got lucky and got over the deadline, but yeah, man, thank you guys for signing up for it. Y'all the ones that make it so dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so thank y'all for listening, man. We'll be back. Like I said, I'm gonna try to take a couple more breaks coming up in the future here, so there may be a day or so or there's not a show or whatever. But we still plan on doing shows this week.
Mm-hmm.
And there also may just be 5 shows. I mean, that we might do all the shows. It just really depends. I'm just allowing myself the room in my brain to be like, I didn't feel like it today, you know? So thank you guys for listening.
Yep.
And then also, like, with that sale, it made me feel like, well, look, if motherfuckers went premium, they never gonna catch up anyway.
Mm-mm, cause it's a few thousand shows behind that paywall. I know some of y'all went premium was like, well, God, I knew they was working, but I didn't know these niggas was working like this.
Right. So, yeah, anyway, man, I hope you guys have a good, rest of the day. And, yeah, we appreciate y'all. Look out for our guest spots. I know I was on Chris Lambert's podcast, The Mundane Festival, a few weeks back. I'm gonna be on an upcoming episode of The Woke Files, which is on Three Guys On Premium.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna be on Playable Characters podcast coming up soon.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for Ryan and Karen all over the place. Mm-hmm. We're always working, guys.
Yes, we are.
All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.